What's up, my friend? Welcome to the Finding Direction podcast. My name is Stu Massengill, and I'm here every single week to bring you a passionate guest or message dedicated to helping you find your purpose so that you can live a life full of passion, fulfillment, and happiness. From the bottom of my heart, thank you for hanging out with me, and let's dive in. What's up, my friend? Welcome back to the Finding Direction podcast. I am so excited for you here to this episode. This is one of those that I get done recording, and this is the reason that I have this podcast, is for guests like this, conversations like this. I promise you, this is going to be one that you're going to listen to 2, 3, 4, 5 times. There is so much incredible goodness in this episode. Our guest on this episode is James Arthur Ray. And to give you a little bit of his background, James is the author of 6 internationally best-selling books, including his New York Times bestseller, Harmonic Wealth, The Secret to Attracting the Life You Want, and the co-author and contributor to The Secret. If you ever saw the movie The Secret, James is in it. He was part of it, and it turned into some incredible things in his life. He's also worked with over 1 million people from over 145 countries through his audios, videos, coaching, life and business leadership programs, and over 1 million people have attended his live events worldwide. James' company hit the Inc. 500 in 2009 as one of the fastest growing, most successful privately held companies in the United States and possibly the world. In 2007, he was distinguished Toastmaster Award for Outstanding Communicator and Leadership. His book, Harmonic Wealth, was voted as one of the top celebrity reads by People Magazine in 2008. He's appeared numerous times on Larry King Live, The Today Show, Good Morning America, CNN, Oprah. I mean, you name it, this guy has been on it. After rising to the professional of his pinnacle, really, he in 2009 had a tragic event where at the age of 54, he lost everything. He talks about how he came back from it in the last decade. And ultimately, James is on a mission to positively impact a minimum of 1 billion lives. Yes, you heard it. 1 billion lives and businesses worldwide. Ray continues to relentlessly bring his experience, resilience, adaptability, and wisdom to all those he's blessed to serve and support. Again, you can hear it in his bio, but this man has lived life truly, and he has so many gifts, and he's so unbelievable at articulating all those gifts that he's gained over the last 65 years of his life. You are going to enjoy this one, my friend. If you have not yet, make sure you hit that subscribe button so you can hang out with us every single week on the show as we bring you new guests, conversations, and insights to help you create a life full of passion, fulfillment, and happiness. Without further ado, my friend, here is James Arthur Ray. James Arthur Ray, welcome to the show, man. I am big time looking forward to this one.
Thanks, Stu. I appreciate you having me here. Good to be here.
Absolutely. And so as we kick this off, I would love it if you could give our listener a little bit of background on, you know, who James Arthur Ray is and a little bit about your story. I know you've had quite the journey of a life, but if you could fill our listener in a little bit as far as, you know, who you are, what you do, and a little bit of your story.
Okay. I'll really condense it as much as possible because it is quite a journey. Yeah. And I've been here on the planet for a while. So I've been to the peak and I've been to the pit and I've been everywhere in between. And so the abbreviated story is I started out as a very insecure, introverted kid, got into sales and became a top sales performer at AT&T. Then I got promoted as a sales trainer. And when I got in front of the room, I found my magic. I really realized that's what I needed to do. Yeah. And from there, I went to AT&T School of Business and graduated up to being a C-suite consultant, working with CEOs and presidents and vice presidents around things like team performance, leadership, communication skills, presentation skills, all those types of things. Yeah. Jumped off and started my own business in 92, which seems like a long time ago now. And started off basically just doing business consulting work. And my primary focus in business consulting, and we still, Bearsabo, my wife and I do this to this day, is we do culture change initiatives where we go in. And one of the things that we say is that businesses don't perform, people perform. And so if you want to change the business outcome, and it doesn't matter if you've got two people or 2,000 people or 20,000 people, you've got to change the person. And that's the culture of the organization. And so I started working in culture change initiatives first at AT&T School of Business. And then that's what I primarily did when I left AT&T, moved into doing public seminars, wrote several books, had a New York Times bestseller called Harmonic Wealth. That was on the tail end of this little movie called The Secret, which some people, maybe some younger people, aren't that familiar with, but pretty much a lot of people have heard about that. Yeah, and that catapulted me into a gigantic arena in my field. And that's what took me to the peak. At one point, Stu, I had over 1 million people from 146 countries around the world coming to my 2-day Harmonic Wealth Weekend. And so from there, it was a great experience, and it didn't last that long. Nothing ever does. And that's something I'd like to convey, is that all things are transitory in this world. It doesn't matter. You know, pain doesn't last forever. Neither does pleasure. It's all transitory. It's all ephemeral, because we live in a transitory world. We can talk about this and flesh anything out that you'd like us to. From there, though, I lost everything. My team, my company, and I were involved in a 5-day retreat in Sedona in 2009, which maybe you're familiar with. And three of my clients in a sweat lodge activity that we had performed for 5 years running. It was an experiential learning event that was like the sizzle on the steak. It was a 5-day, it was the last day, and it was kind of a graduation celebration. Mm-hmm. Well, it went incredibly wrong in 2009. And three of my clients who had become friends, because it was a very intimate event. It wasn't the 500 to 2,000 people that came through my other events. It was 50 people. So I got to know them up close and personal, and three of them lost their lives, and it broke my heart. It literally broke my heart. And there were days, Stu, if you've ever lost anyone you love and care about, you know how that feels. I mean, the emptiness, the loss. And what made it worse was it happened on my watch. And so I'd invested my entire life, my entire career, attempting to help and empower individuals, or help them empower themselves, and they lost their lives. It was the antithesis of anything that I'd ever desired or lived for. And it felt like sometimes it was more than I could take. Well, I could take more, because it kept coming. You know, not only did I lose three friends that I loved and cared about, but the state of Arizona charged me with a crime. They charged me with manslaughter, which, quite frankly, is ludicrous, if I may say. You know, there's not one person listening today who's in business who would, in manslaughter is intentional harm. There's not one person who would intentionally harm his or her clients and think they're going to stay in business, much less stay in the world. Yeah. And I was shocked. At that point, Stu, I was the precursor to what's going on in the world today. You know, if you look at what's going on in the world right now, we're realizing as a populace that the media has lied to us. They've lied to us a lot. They've suppressed a lot. They've hidden a lot. They've manipulated a lot. Well, guess what, Stu? Those of us, and I know you've got worldwide listeners and viewers, those of us, at least who grew up in America, we're told that would never happen in America. You know, especially my generation, if the news tells you something, it's true.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't true. And we don't have time today to go through all the issues, but there were so many things that started happening in the media. I went from being on Oprah, twice, being on Larry King twice, to being on the Today Show at least once a month for many months running. I was the hero. Everybody wanted a piece of me. And I went from that to being the villain. And I was literally crucified by the media. I could not believe it. It blew my mind, and it rattled the foundation of who I thought I was and what I believed this country was and what I believed this world operated as. Well, long story short, manslaughter was ludicrous. I went through a 4-month trial. It was anguishing. They wanted 30 years. And fortunately, the jury could not find one shred of evidence for intentional harm. I mean, come on. That's not what I'm about. And so what they did get, though, what they did decide to do was a lesser inclusive, which was called negligence. I own that I don't know if you've read my latest book, The Business of Redemption, but the very first chapter is entitled I Am Responsible. And, you know, I own that. Negligence says things could have been done better. Yeah, I wish they would have been. Negligence said some things were overlooked. Yeah, I agree. I wish they hadn't have been. Negligence says that things should have been different. Yes, I agree. My God, every single day I think about that. And I've anguished a lot over that. This issue now is almost 11 years old, but it's still fresh within me, and it will be for the rest of my days. So I own that, and I didn't get 30 years, thank God. I got 2 years, and I went to prison. I lost everything. I lost my life savings. I lost my dream home. I lost all my friends. You know, every single person in the industry, with one exception, Bob Proctor. Tucktail and
I love Bob Proctor.
You know, Bob Proctor was one of my early mentors way back in the early days. And God bless him. God rest his soul. Yeah. Every single other person who was in the industry didn't even reach out and say, hey, how you doing? Or hang in there? Or how can I help? Not one of them, Stu, not one. And I know all of them. And just previous to that, they were all like, boy, they wanted to work with me and they wanted a joint venture with me. And so I've had a lot of forgiveness to do and a lot of learnings through pain. Pain is the mother of all growth. Now, I know we don't like that, but the fact remains, pain is the mother of all growth. Pain is not a signal to suffer. It's a signal to grow. It's a signal to become more. It's a signal to say something is not quite what it could be, should be. Yeah. And so we need to learn to master our lives. We need to learn to master pain and to embrace the pain, not to anguish in it and to suffer, but to say, okay, something's off here and I need to make some adjustments. Well, I came out of prison in 2013. I was standing in the desert of Arizona. I was 54 years old and I had lost 40 pounds I didn't need to lose. I had periodontal disease. I was an emotional and mental wreck. I was alone, and I was $20 million in debt. 2013, all right, 10 years ago, $20 million, and I was homeless. I was literally homeless. Alone, homeless, $20 million in debt, 54 years old. Nobody wants to be standing there, even at 30, you know? And so, Stu, I had to get my head on. I had to say and to come to a point where I asked myself, what are you going to do in the next chapter of your life? Because I'm not done, you know? I'm not done. What are you going to do with the rest of your life? And here's the thing that's really important, and it really fits into the theme of your show, which I love, is nothing. You're not going to love how you get there, but nothing gets us to the heart faster and deeper than a crash and burn and a crisis. You know, we grow the most in the crucible of challenge. We don't grow the most, you know, smelling the roses and drinking the fine wine. We grow the most in the crucible of challenge. That's what brings out the best in us. That's what shows us our mettle or lack thereof. That's what tells us to strengthen our spine and to step up and to get going. And that's what I had to do. And so consequently, fast forward now, you know, 10 years later, it's been a heck of a ride. Yeah. You know, I mean, $20 million in debt would choke anyone, really. Yeah. It was homeless. And so obviously I'm not homeless anymore. And, yeah. And I'm not alone anymore. I'm married to the most amazing woman on the planet, who is my greatest supporter and my business partner. We do almost everything together now. Yeah. And now I'm back at it, even though when I first came back, Stu, and I shouldn't say comeback, because someone asked me in an interview recently, do you consider this your comeback? No, I never left. Yeah. I never left. This is just the next chapter. I took a 2-year hiatus. Actually, it was more like 5 years, probably more like 15, because there was the 5 years leading up to trial through prison, and then the last 10 years, to heal and to integrate and to become whole again, because I was really broken in 2013. I was disenfranchised. I was disgusted. I was angry. And so anyway, here I am. And one of the things that I believe is that sometimes you have to be broken to find out why you're made. Yeah. And to find out what you're made of. And I believe that God, and you know, agree or disagree as a viewer, but I believe that God prepared me for this time where so many people are suffering, so many people are facing difficulty. All of us are. Me too. It's still not all, you know, unicorns and rainbows. Right. Yeah. You know? I mean, 2020 hit all of us hard. 2021, 2022, you know, and who knows what this year is going to bring, but it just keeps coming, doesn't it? And so that's the breakdown process. And here's my encouragement to everyone. Every significant breakthrough is preceded by a breakdown. And it can't be otherwise, because for something new to emerge, there has to be a space for it to merge into. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
So we're in the breakdown right now. It's really messy, but it has to get messy before it gets magnificent. That's how the universe works. So hopefully, you know, again, brevity is not always my strong suit.
Yeah.
And I'll throw it back to you.
Yeah. But what a world class of a life that you've lived. It's magnificent and it holds all parts. And I was listening to another podcast and you mentioned one of your mentors, one of your 6 mentors that you had was a Zen teacher. And he was saying, you can't teach people that are suffering if you haven't suffered. Like, you've lived all scales of the spectrum, which is beautiful. And there's so many different places we could go. And a few things that I would be curious to kind of like dive into different parts of your life is when you came out in 2013 and you mentioned you're just like jacked up, for lack of a better term, right? And all physical, mental, everything. I'm curious, what were some of the, because at that point you're 54, you've lived 54 years, but you've lived 54 pretty damn incredible years. Like, you've been very successful. You've gone through a lot of experience. You've impacted millions of people, literally. So when you come out of that at 54, what were some of the principles for you that you said, okay, like, everything's gone, these are principles that I'm going to allow to guide me as I go into this next chapter? Because clearly we see a decade later, it worked. Whatever principles you took then and said, I'm going to use this, you're thriving again.
Right. Well, thank you. This is a great question, because first of all, I've been on my knees and I ask God's help a lot. And And I've gotten a lot of guidance and a lot of help. Initially, you know, at the time, my then media manager, who was one of the people who did stand with me, God rest his soul, he transitioned a couple years ago, but he was with William Morris, and he represented me. And I said to him when I came out, I said, I do not want anything to do with personal development. Because I saw how personal development, personal performance treated me.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, how can you help and support people who are hurting if you can't even help and support one of your own? I mean, and that it's not a judgment, it just is. And I'm sorry, you know, there's a lot of illusion and a lot of, quite frankly, hypocrisy. And I didn't want anything to do with it. And I said to him at the time, I said, you know that guy who is the host on Dancing with the Stars? I don't know his name. And he goes, yeah. And I go, I want that job. He goes, okay, we can get you that job. Well, that lasted all of about a nanosecond. You know, I didn't want that job. But I said to him, you know, just because back before everything crashed and burned, Stu, I was on the road over 250 days a year. And you know, I had a brand new home in Beverly Hills that I rarely slept in because I was always on the road. And so I just thought, hey, I'll go to work, I'll clock in, I'll do my thing, and I'll go home and sleep in my own bed. That's the job I want.
Yeah.
Or I told him I want a radio show or I want a TV show. And he goes, all right. And so that didn't last because that's not why I'm here. And so here's the point. And you mentioned earlier purpose. I fully believe, in fact, I don't believe, I know that each of us has unique gifts. God gave those to us.
Yeah.
We each have unique gifts to bring to the world. And you have gifts, too, that I don't have. And I have some that you don't have. And Bearsome, my wife, has plenty of gifts that I don't have. And on and on and on and on and on. And our job, our greatest gift from God is our unlimited potential and our unique gifts. Our greatest gift back to God is to utilize those. Mm. Now, here's the caveat, which is really important in today's social media world. You know, sorry to burst your bubble. Not everybody is meant to be a professional speaker. Okay, sorry. Not everyone is meant to be famous. And by the way, you know, Brad Pitt said once, I'm not a fan, but I like this quote. He said, fame is a bitch. Well, guess what? I'll second that motion because fame brings corresponding disgrace. And it cannot be otherwise. Look at my life. I was famous, but be careful what you ask for. Mm-hmm. You know, praise brings corresponding blame. Yeah. I don't know, Stu, if you've had this experience, but I can't tell you how many people, you know, sit in my trial on the witness stand and on and on and on and on. Oh, you changed my life. I love you so much. And then they flip. Oh, it's his fault. He's a jerk. You know, he doesn't care about, you know, I didn't get the results and so on and so on. Praise brings blame. Fame brings disgrace. Be careful what you ask for. And so. Back to unique gifts. Each of us has these unique gifts that we've been given that no one else has. And our job is to find those gifts. And this is what I do in my intensives one-on-one with people, is I help them get beyond the illusion and get beyond the romance and get down to the heart and say, okay, what have I always been attracted to? What am I naturally good at? Now, just because you're naturally good at something doesn't mean you're going to be masterful at it. You're not. Right. You know, Dr. Anders Ericsson tells us it takes a minimum of 10,000 hours to develop any kind of mastery. And so you do have this seed of greatness within you, and it's got to be developed. It's got to be coddled. It's got to be planted. You know, if we use that metaphor, it's got to be watered. It's got to be weeded. It's got, you know, all those things so that it will blossom into this mighty oak. And so you're always going to be happiest and most fulfilled when you're living in alignment, utilizing your unique gifts, because we're all hardwired to be great.
Yeah. So let me ask,
go ahead.
Let me ask this. How does somebody find that? Cause I 100% second what you're saying. It's, you find that, you live in alignment with it. Life's great. But I think the big, you know, massive question mark of the room is people going, well, okay, this sounds great, but how the hell do I find that thing?
Yeah, it's a great question. And one of the things that I utilize with my clients, Stu, is I call it beginning at the beginning. I'll use myself as an example. So I had a father that, unlike many fathers say, real men don't cry. Walk it off, suck it up, be a man. And there's a whole movement around this be a man thing. Don't get me started, you know, because a man does whatever the heck he wants to do, period. You know, he's not stuck into a cliche. Now, do I believe that a lot of men in today's world need to man up? Yeah. Do I believe that they need to stop, you know, being so soft and victimized? Absolutely. But that's a whole nother conversation. Yeah. My dad said to me, not men don't cry. He said, men do whatever they choose to do, whatever they feel. Now, that's very different than most dads in my experience. And I've had a lot of experience. So for me, when I go back and begin at the beginning, I was always a very emotionally open child. I was very sensitive to things, and I still am to this day. And so why is that important? Well, it's important because I was the guy going out on a first date and watching Braveheart. You know, some of your viewers don't even know that movie. but you know, Braveheart, and where Mel Gibson's character is laying on the table and they're going to take his life and he's yelling freedom at the top of his lungs. Mm-hmm. I was sitting in the movie theater bawling. And that, you know, that's not real cool on a first date. But nonetheless, that was me, and that's who I was, and it's who I am. Well, what does that matter? Well, because there's a reason why that gets me so emotional. There's a reason. Why? Because one of my greatest drivers is to help you actualize and to remember and to realize your own freedom. And I had to get that for myself first. And so, again, that's one little small example. But when we go through the process, what they call in the Toltec traditions, which I've been very blessed to be trained in a lot of mystery traditions. And in the Toltec, they call it recapitulation. You go back and you access a earlier memory and you live through it again, and you find the reasoning and you find the drivers. And that's beginning at the beginning, because you've had notifications all along the way of who you are and why you are. You know, unfortunately, again, I'm all over social media, and it's a great tool for business. And I also know it's also a great tool for depression. And it's also a great tool for getting people confused and lost, because everybody's like, you know, oh, just follow me and make $1 million on the internet in 3 months. My watch, and look at my plane, and look at my car, and we won't name names. But nonetheless, you know, that's not for everybody. I'm sorry. You know, it's every bit as noble if your unique gifts are to connect with the elderly, for instance. Yeah. That's every bit as noble as being on stage in front of 17,000 people, which I've done. It's not apples and oranges, it's apples and apples, because not everybody is meant to do the same thing. So again, long answer to your question, but beginning at the beginning and really doing some self-analysis will help you re-access. That's the first step. in finding what your unique gifts are.
I love it. And I think a piece to pull out there that you mentioned as well is taking the comparison out, right? Because you could say, okay, speaking, that's what's going to fill me up because I'm going to pour into people. But if what your gifts are is not that, you could get to that thing and feel totally unfulfilled, totally out of alignment, totally miserable because you're not listening to the signs and the notes and the notifications you said that have come to you throughout your life to live in your gifts. And so I think just an interesting question for the person that's listening to this right now is asking themselves, like, what was one of those things that stuck out to you when you were a kid? And if you go back to one of those times, are there little pokes and prods you could see that happened throughout your life up to today that maybe have shown you what you're supposed to be doing? And then obviously the next step from there is, you know, as you've mentioned in many of the talks that you've given, allowing yourself to step into that. And it may be not the easiest thing in the world. It may be difficult, but that's how you're ultimately going to get to live in alignment with what you're supposed to be doing.
You're so spot on. It's more noble. It's nobler to pursue your own gifts and purpose imperfectly than it is to perfectly pursue someone else's.
Beautiful.
I'll repeat that because it's really, boy, I hope your listeners get it. Someone needs to hear that.
Yeah.
It's nobler to pursue your own gifts and purpose imperfectly, meaning you're not doing them, you know, all the way great, than it is to perfectly pursue someone else's. And here's the other thing I'd like to add to that, Stu. Again, let's shatter some of the illusion. One of the hermetic laws, again, I've been gifted with a lot of great teachers. One of the hermetic laws of the universe is called the law of polarity. Law of polarity says, and there are seven laws. Law of polarity says every up has a down, every in has an out, every right has a left. Well, every pain has a pleasure. And so here's the point. You might think, oh, James Arthur Ray's life, so cool. He was living in Beverly Hills, 7,500 square foot estate in Beverly Hills, driving an AMG Mercedes, you know, on Oprah, on Larry King. I was sleeping 4 hours a night. And, you know, my business at the time, we hit the Inc. 500. I was blessed. My team and I hit the Inc. 500 and we were making $10 million a year. But let me promise you this. We had $10 million problems too. And so again, be careful what you ask for, because most of us tend, and this is a really old analogy, but it works. You know, we want to collect all the quarters in the world. I don't even know if we have quarters anymore. Not many, but we only want the heads and we don't want the tails. Well, how many quarters are you going to get? You're not. Because every quarter has both a head and a tail, and you're going to have to embrace both. And so here's something as a viewer to remember. The master embraces both pain and pleasure in the pursuit of purpose. Because you're just because you're living on purpose doesn't mean everything is still rainbows and unicorns. You know, my life was very complicated and very, you know, making $10 million a year. Oh my God, you know, isn't that awesome? Yeah, it was. And it was also awful, you know, because I was only getting 4 hours of sleep and I had people calling at me and I was never at home. So you're always going to get the up with the down, the pain with the pleasure. It always comes in equal pairs. So that's why it's even more imperative, Stu, that we do what you're advocating, what we're talking about here, is that we choose something that we are uniquely suited to accomplish.
Yeah. So if we dive into that a little bit deeper, right, someone starts to get an idea of this is what I'm supposed to do, this is what I'm in alignment with. There's one piece you talk about in Harmonic Wealth, and it's going three for three with your beliefs, your thoughts, and your beliefs, your feelings, and your actions.
Yes.
Thoughts, feelings, and actions. So how does someone go from, let's say, being one of three where they go, okay, my thought is that this is what I'm supposed to do with my life. How do they go from that place to my thought is this is what I'm supposed to do with my life to I believe that this is what I'm supposed to do with my life and that my actions follow? And one thing you pointed out earlier that I just want to point out again that I love is you said something along the lines of, I think the reason I'm here. And then you went, no. I know this is what I'm here for. And that's belief at its finest, right? It's like in every cell and every atom of your body. So how does someone go from just, I think this is what I'm supposed to do and having the thought of it, to getting those two others with having the feelings of knowing it and the belief of this is why I'm here. And that's that.
Yeah. And I just got to say, it just came up for me when you were describing all that. Someone said to me years ago, and I wish I really am big on quoting sources. And unfortunately, I don't remember who this was. But someone said to me, you know, Jesus didn't believe in God. Jesus knew God. Big difference. And so take that principle. Yeah. Knowing is an ownership and belief is good. Belief's a good start, but you want to come to a point of knowing. And so consequently, here's thoughts, feelings, and actions, 3 for 3. And you look at anyone who's creating what they desire and deserve, they're going 3 for 3. You look at anyone who's not, they're maybe going 1 for 3, 2 for 3. And normally, it's not the thought that's off. Sometimes it is. Thoughts in and of themselves, and let me blow out again a lot of things you read in memes, change your thinking, change your world. No. What you think about comes about. No, not true. I mean, if that were true, then when I was in high school, I would have become a busty varsity cheerleader because that's all I thought about all the time. Okay. Let's be frank. You know, it's not what you think about, you become. No. And so you've got to go 3 for 3. A lot of people can tell me what they think they want, but you can't really tell me what you know you want until you know who you are. And that gets into feeling. And this is really an important topic that we could riff on for days. And I know we don't have that. But feeling is the, you know, modern physics, quantum physics, tells us everything has a frequency or a vibration. Well, feeling is the vibration. Now, thoughts are too. Everything has a frequency or vibration. But here's what I used to be on the steering committee of HeartMath Institute, the leading authority of the heart on the planet. And what they have proven scientifically is that the heart is 100 times more dynamic. You're an electromagnetic being. Electro is dynamic, magnetic is attractive. The heart is 100 times more dynamic, electric than the brain. It gets better than that. The heart is 5,000 times more magnetic, attractive than the brain. Now, that's a big disparity. Yeah. And so consequently, the feeling, you know, is the prayer, if you will. The feeling frequency is how we change our lives because feeling drives action. We do every single thing, every moment of every day based upon how we think it will make us feel, how we think it will make us feel. Well, sometimes we don't think because thinking isn't feeling. Thinking and feeling are two different things. You follow me? Yeah. And so, you know, you can check out how someone, what they're doing inside just by asking them a question. How do you feel today? Well, I think, no, thinking is not feeling. I asked you, how do you feel? and so again, this is a really deep topic, but nonetheless, those feelings are driven, and feelings and emotions are different. Emotions are energy in motion. They move the body to act. Emotions are a label we put on a frequency. So, you know, the feeling of love, we call it love. Love is an emotional term, but the feeling is the frequency. The feeling is the fluttering in the stomach, maybe the knot in your throat and the sweaty palms, you know, the rapid heartbeat, whatever. That's the feeling. Feeling is visceral. And so consequently, what we have, and emotions are just linguistic opportunities or linguistic, what's the word I'm looking for? It's how we attempt linguistically to express something that we really can't express because a feeling is hard to express. And so back to your question, if we understand the heart is the feeling center, 5,000 times more magnetic and attractive and 100 times more dynamic than the brain, then we got to get into the heart. We've got to get into the feeling. Now, here's the rub, is that your feeling mind is your unconscious mind, which means it's totally out of your awareness. And so what's driving, according to psychology, 95% of your behavior every moment of every day is your unconscious. And so you can't change something that you're unconscious of.
Yeah.
You're not conscious of it. And so one of the greatest challenges that we have, and I had it when I was standing in the desert in 2013, is to make the unconscious conscious. And when you make the unconscious conscious, then we go, okay, here's the driver. Here's where it comes from. And here's what I need to heal and integrate so that I can become whole and then move into action to create my destiny, if you will, since that's our topic. Yeah. So again, it's a complex topic, but probably action is really important. You know, for those who are law of attraction fiends or fans, I constantly remind people that 60% of the word attraction is action.
Yeah. So right? Speaking on action, what would you say are like two or three things actionably that someone could do to impact their unconscious in a positive way?
Really good, great question. Use your entire life as a feedback mechanism. So Carl Jung, who I'm a big fan of, said that which is most unconscious within us must of need be projected out onto others. He also said, when an unconscious issue is not made conscious, it shows up outside of us as fate. And so consequently, when things show up in our business, in our relationships, in our lives, that's called in psychology a projection. You probably heard that term. And the people who really aggravate you the most are an outpicturing of what you haven't accepted within yourself. And so consequently, the situations that aggravate you the most, the things that bring up the most fear, are again, that's why pain is the mother of all growth. It's not a signal to suffer, it's a signal to grow, to digress where we were. It is that when I experience these pains, whether it's anger or angst or worry or frustration or fear, that's a biofeedback mechanism to show me where I need to heal. Because the entire world, and this is science, it's proven. Carl Pribram won a Nobel Prize for proving that everything outside of you is a projection of what's inside of you. And so if I want to change the inside, I have to change the interior. And so if I want to change the interior, I have to make the unconscious conscious. And long answer to your question, how do I do that? I look at what's going on outside of me that bugs me or bothers me. And I go, okay, there I am. So where did that come from?
Interesting.
Who taught that to me? You know, where did I learn that one? And how can I go back? Because psychology also tells us that when we go back and revisit a memory with new resources, new knowings, new learnings, new capabilities, you can't ever think of that memory the same way again. And that's a big part of the work that Bersaba and I do, is help people go back and recapture themselves and integrate those back in so that they can become clean and start to take action based from that perspective.
Yeah. Beautifully said. And to just recap for a listener, it's looking on the outside, and that's the projection of what the unconscious is. That's such a, I've never heard it that way. It's very interesting. I just have a few last few questions for you and we'll wrap up. One question that just popped into my head is like, and maybe this is a long answer, maybe we can keep it short, but how would you say our listener can live as much life as you've lived? Because you've lived. Like the definition of living, you've done it. You have done it beautifully. So, you know, someone's listening to this, they're in their 20s, their 30s, they're going, okay, I got a lot of life left. How does someone live as much life as you've lived?
Couple things. First of all, and you know, we have a proprietary model that we call the five dimensions of leadership and performance. And whether we're going into a business or whether we're working one-on-one with an individual, those five dimensions are impacting every single thing in a business, every single thing in your life. And I won't go for time. I won't go into all five of those, but one of those is physiology. And this is really important, fancy word for your body. If you want to live a full life, you need to be around for a while, right? Yeah. And you need to be around, not decrepit, just barely scraping by and tired and worn out and old. You know, I've been on this planet 65 years now, and I'm just getting started. You know, I get up at three. I've been up since 3 a.m. this morning, Stu, and I'll go. We have a live session tonight at 6 p.m. our time, and I'll go. You know, I'll be going all day long, and I do that every single day. And the reason I do that, and I'm capable of doing that, there's a lot of factors. But your diet is really important. You first of all, I you will never ever, you know, first of all, listen to how I choose my language. Language is powerful. I didn't say I am X years old. I said I've been on this planet 65 years now. Now you say, what's the big deal? Well, the way you language things creates a feeling. Oh God, there's that word again. So you need to choose your words carefully. You need to choose your diet carefully. And going all the way back to the 30s, my 30s, which was quite a while ago, I started exercising. Actually, no, it was like 28. I exercise regularly. I still do. 3 days a week, I'm in the gym hitting the weights hard. And it's funny because one of my former friends from Atlanta, where I lived for a while, saw me doing heavy squats on social media. And he put out a message. He said, at your age, it's really dangerous to squat. I'm like, thanks for sharing, you know, because no, it's just a number. And it's more about a mindset. And yes, you have to eat well. That's physiology. If you're not eating well and eating healthfully, you're not going to think clearly and you're not going to go long and hard. You need to stay away from substances. I mean, research, I'm a big follower of Doc Amen on Instagram. I'm not a consumer, but I'm a contributor or a creator, but I do watch some of his stuff. It looks like you're familiar. And he's done all, he's a psychiatrist who's also a brain specialist, and he's got all these brain scans of people who smoke marijuana and people who drink alcohol, and you can see the pictures. You can't argue with the impact it has on your cerebral cortex, on your executive function. And so you've got, you know, you got to stay away from those things if you want to live long and run productively. You got to exercise. And here's the other thing too, is you can't just go to the gym and do the egoic, I want to look good stuff. Mm-hmm. You have to do the things that people can't see, like flexibility. You know, I'll challenge almost anyone. I had, two clients go to the gym with me recently. One was 24 and one was 35, and they were like huffing and puffing, and they couldn't even come close to me in stretching because I'm really flexible, but still I do it every single day. There's no exception. And so if you want to live a full life, you have to live a long life. Look up the blue zones on the internet and you will find these are people who live 100+ years and they're not decrepit. They're vibrant. And there's certain places in the world where these people live, but there's common factors. They eat more vegetables than meat. Now I'm a meat eater. You know, I played with vegetarianism for a while and it just didn't work for me long term. So I'm not advocating that. But we have to get a lot of live foods, healthy foods, foods with water. We have to hydrate well. We have to do all those things. That's physiology. The other thing in the blue zones to live a full life is to know your purpose early, to have a meaningful reason to get out of bed in the morning. How in the heck do I get up at 3 a.m. every single day? You know, because I got a lot of life to live. I got a lot of things to do, you know. My God, I get 6 to 8 different nights now. I don't do 4 anymore. But Leonardo da Vinci, who's one of my heroes, slept 2.5 hours a night. And the guy died at 67, and he made this huge impact on the world. Tesla, I think, slept 3 hours a night. And so I'm not advocating that by any means. But you know, maybe the things you've been conditioned to believe are not true. And maybe you need to start doing and thinking for yourself. Know your purpose early and give yourself to it. And it's going to change. You know, this is really my purpose as doing what I'm doing, helping people to live more vibrant lives. And you know, I'm really here to minimize happiness and fulfillment. And maximize happiness and fulfillment and minimize suffering. That's really what I'm all about. And so that took me a long time though. You know, I thought I wanted to be an actor at one point. I thought I wanted to be a rock musician at another point. And I dabbled with all those kinds of things. And until I kind of found it, as I mentioned, I got in front of the room at AT&T and I realized, hey,
this is it.
I have some gifts here and I need to develop these and use them. Hopefully it answers your question.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, James, this has been an absolute honor. Thank you so much for being here. And we could be here for weeks. But I'm curious, you know, if people have listened to our conversation today and gone, man, I need more James in my life. Where's the best place for them to find you, hang out with you, dive more into your work? Where can our listener go?
Well, home base is jamesray.com, and it's R-A-Y, jamesray.com. And everything that, you know, if they want to hang out, we have a program called The Art of Alchemy, where you can hang out with me and Beersheba on a monthly basis, live via Zoom. We have, you know, online events. We haven't been doing any face-to-face. I miss them, but ever since 2020, we've migrated to Zoom, as most people have. And who knows how that'll unfold as time unfolds. I'm all over social media, you know, little difficult to find for some on Instagram, because Beersheba and I have a joint account. So our on Instagram, it's James Arthur and Bear. People can't say Beersheba, much less spell it. So it's B-E-A-R, James Arthur and Bear Ray. And then of course on Facebook, it's James Arthur Ray. On Twitter, it's James A. Ray. And on, you can find me on LinkedIn. I'm all over social media as well. Pretty easy to find.
Love it. Well, we'll put all that in the show notes first, so it's real easy for everybody to find. And my last question for you, we ask this to all of our guests, because we want to help people find direction, but we definitely believe in doing it through action, is what would you say is one thing our listener can do in the next 24 to 48 hours to start finding direction in their life?
I'll give you a really simple one that I give to a lot of my intensive one-on-one clients. I call it the critical six. And it's really simple, and yet it's profound. And I do this every single day. Before you go to bed tonight, write down the six most important things that you need to do tomorrow, that you need to get done tomorrow, and put them in chronological order. So the first most important, second, third, fourth, etc. And then here's the beauty of that. You have to do it before you go to bed, because the minute you wake up, you know, maybe you don't want to wake up at 3 a.m. Maybe, maybe you can be lazy and sleep till 5, but, but nonetheless, and I'm kidding. But nonetheless, the minute you wake up, what I find so frequently, Stu, is that most people spend so much time getting ready to get ready. And so when I wake up, I'm ready. I know exactly the six most important things I need to do today. One of them was talk to Stu. And I don't have to second guess. I don't have to plan. I don't have to eat up time getting ready to get ready. And so you work on the first thing until you get it done. And then you don't go to two until you get one done. And then you go to two and you work on two until you get it done. And you don't go to three until you get it done. Now, there's the exception to that. Is that if you're waiting, if someone else has a responsibility that's part of it, then sometimes you have to wait on them to fulfill their part too. But this kind of organization, if you look at the structure of genius, which I've studied immensely, every single genius, I'm talking about Da Vinci, I'm talking about Picasso, people of that caliber have a system and a structure and they follow it. My life is very structured. I don't pull anything from the hip, you know. And so if you can write down your critical six, you won't get them all done. I don't. So you might only get the first four done today. So then what you do is you take number five and six and you roll them over to tomorrow and they become number one and two. And then you keep this rolling list. I guarantee you, I've shared this with hundreds of thousands of people, and it's simple. But it will make a huge difference. And you go, well, I don't know what my purpose is yet. Well, go as far as you can go and you'll see how to go farther.
Yeah.
You know, do what you know you need to do now and you'll see what to do later. But you need to only do it a day at a time with your critical six. Hopefully that's helpful.
Yeah. Beautiful and extraordinarily actionable. So thank you so much for that, James. I said it before, I'm going to say it again. It's been an honor to have you on the show. Thank you so much for being here. I have beyond enjoyed this conversation. I'm going to listen to it 2, 3, 4 times over. I encourage all of our listeners to do the same. But thank you so much for being here. We all have gained so much from this. And just thank you for being you and living your life.
Thanks, Stu. Keep doing great work. World needs you.
Thank you. Congratulations, my friend, on crushing it through another episode here on Finding Direction. Make sure you give yourself a pat on the back, a round of applause, because you are one of the few who is not willing to settle for less than a life that lights up your soul, and that is absolutely something worth celebrating. I want to say thank you so much for joining me on this episode. I know you received some value there, and more importantly, I hope you go take that wisdom and go apply it to create a life that you truly love. If you enjoyed this episode, I would be so grateful if you could leave us a quick review on iTunes and let us know what was the biggest nugget you took, what was one of your favorite things, or what are you doing from this episode action-wise to create a better life for yourself. It helps us get this show in front of more people, get better guests, and ultimately create a better show for you. Again, thank you so much for being here. I hope you have an unbelievable, outstanding, incredible rest of your day. And if you don't feel like going anywhere, don't feel like you need to. I have another episode coming up right after this, and you can hang around for that one coming up shortly. Thank you, my friend. I'll talk to you soon.